Well, that was Salvador Sobral, and the song was Amar Pelos Dois, Portuguese entry in Eurovision 2017. Apologies, my Portuguese is probably incorrect. But we played that because Chef Matt McConnell and his wife Jo Gumvross have Melbourne's Hatted, that's as in the Good Food Guide, Hatted Bar, Larinha, in Little Collins Street. Now, Larinha is a Portuguese word, and it's actually a geographic location in Lisbon. So I don't know whether the McConnells went over there and had a nice drink in a bar called Larinha, but that's what they've called theirs in Melbourne. It's very, very popular. Just celebrated the launch of their book, Eat at the Bar, which is a delightful mix of travel anecdotes and recipes, and takes readers to their favourite places across the Mediterranean, particularly Spain and Portugal. Now, reporter Veronica Matheson chatted to Matt about his passion for travel, food and family.
Matt, you're just back from Europe, which no doubt was a trip that focused on food.
Of course. it's pretty much all that we do these days. And it is a major part of our bar in Melbourne. We draw so much inspiration from all around the world. And we first travelled in 95 and we just got the bug since then, and it's pretty hard not to. We've got two little kids now as well, and they love it just as much as us. So it's a really good fun time, as well as you know, we really do the hard work and eat and drink as much as we possibly can.
So that's very hard work. Yeah. So where did you go this time?
This trip we nicknamed the trip of places that we've never been to before, because we always found ourselves gravitating back to the places that we've fallen in love with, and which I think you generally do in life. But we really wanted to bust away from Spain and Portugal, which we've done quite a bit in the last 3 years. So we went to Stockholm, which was absolutely magnificent. Had never been there before. We went back to Greece, but this time we went to an island we hadn't been to called Corfu, which is absolutely magnificent. And we also went to Malta, somewhere where my partner Joe has always wanted to go. It's not famous for its food, but we were really pleasantly surprised by what was on offer.
In Melbourne, you have Larinha.
We picked that name quite purposely because it didn't stand out as a typically Portuguese or Spanish or Italian name, and we really wanted to roam the Mediterranean with our food, but eat in the style that you eat in Spain, but and also to a smaller degree Portugal.
And Bar Larinha, it's at the top end of Little Collins Street. Yeah. And you were inspired by your time in Spain more than a decade ago to start it up. Is that correct?
We did a brief stint in the 90s to Spain, and we sort of put that in the little pigeonhole of we're coming back here and we're going to spend a lot of time here because it was so good. And from that period until we travelled in 2005, I kind of roamed through the idea of eating at bars in the style of food that I was doing. It was fairly heavily influenced by Spain mostly in my style of food. And then when we finally decided to come home, we took a year off to put together what it is we were going to do when we came home. And we landed in Spain. We did pretty much a full circumference of the Iberian Peninsula, starting at Valencia, going all the way south, across through the bottom, through the Straits of Gibraltar, into the bottom of Portugal, all the way up the Atlantic coast, and right across the Basque coastline, and then finishing at Barcelona.
You are travellers, aren't you?
It was an incredible journey, and we actually went on a trip last year where we kind of did a little bit of a retrace of it, because we're in the process of writing the book. We just wanted to revisit some of these places again, and because the memories that we had of them were just so good and so strong, we just wanted to make sure that they were still as good, and we found that they were just as good, if not better, in some of the towns that we've been to. A lot of the places that we based Bar Larinha on were 30, 40, 50-year-old bars that were run by a nephew and an uncle, for instance. And they had great history, beautiful produce, and we were so happy to go back and see that these places are still being owned and run by the same family and still had the same integrity in their products as well, which is a real inspiration for us. We're 12 and a half years old at Bar Larinha. See these places still going strong, still doing what they do consistently, really what kind of drives us.
And did it take a while to get Melburnians to get a mindset for tapas and fine wine and shared plates when you opened Bar Larinha?
Surprisingly, it was pretty quick. There were only one or two places doing something similar when we opened in 2006. And I've always thought Melbourne diners are really switched on diners. There's a little bit of adventurism in how they go about eating out, and they're prepared to give new things a go. The challenging thing was to get people to take away their misconception of what a bar was. A bar up until then was like a pub or just where you go and drink. And if there is food, the food on offer is very, very minimal and usually not a great standard. So we really were about just changing that preconception that you can come to our bar, sit at the bar, and you'll get food of a quality of a restaurant, but in a much more relaxed, much more convivial style and setting. We also opened it up to a whole different broad spectrum of clientele.
It has got that very relaxed sort of feel where you've got all the bric-a-brac.
Absolutely.
Sort of.
And that's what we really took that from our travels. A lot of the things up on the wall that we've got there in the decor, just little things that were picked up at flea markets all throughout Europe. A lot of them have a nice little story that go along with them.
Yeah, it's sort of like a homely ring about it.
Absolutely. And that's what we found when we were travelling. A lot of places that we went to, we're like going to people's homes, and the hospitality that they show you is just so warm and so gracious, unpretentious, and that's really what we loved and what we really wanted to replicate as well, not just in the food but also in the style of hospitality that we wanted to give people.
And the name Bar La Rigna, it has a lovely ring to it, but you know, where does it actually come from?
When we set off on this journey, we knew that we were going to come back and do something along the lines of a bar, so we're going to have a bar in it. We're not sure if it was going to be at the start or the finish. And so the whole journey, we're going around going, what about bar this or bar that? And then we're on a bus from Lisbon to a little town called Peniche on the about an hour and a half north of Lisbon. And we rolled into this bus stop at a town called La Rigna. And I just looked at the way it was spelt, and it had a little accent on the A, which made it a little bit more intriguing. And then we're sitting there trying to pronounce it as a local would. And then we started with Bar La Rigna, La Rigna Bar. Before we knew it, by the time we'd moved out of the bus station and headed to Peniche, we'd landed the name Bar La Rigna. We didn't really look at another name after that. We just really loved that area as well. La Rigna itself is actually not a particularly memorable place. It's famous for dinosaurs, believe it or not their food, but very quite close to the coastline, and their seafood there is absolutely amazing.
Now, you're back in Melbourne for the launch of your book, Eat at the Bar. That was always my mantra when travelling in Europe as a first-timer, when I was penniless and it was more expensive to sit down at a table. But I'm sure that's not necessarily got anything to do with the title of your book.
It was a really tricky one to come up with the name of a book like this, because it's a little bit different. And once again, the connotation of bar insinuates drinking only. But we really, really wanted people to realise that you can eat at the bar. And sometimes it's usually better.
How would you describe Eat at the Bar, your book?
Oh, look, it's a really good combination of influences. So there's a travel component to the book. So there's four, we call them lift outs, but they're little inserts with inside the book of four countries that best influence Bar La Rigna. So we have Spain, Portugal, Italy and Greece. And within those four countries, we've selected four cities or regions that really had a great impact on us. And within those, we've got little travel snippets of some of our favourite places, what to go for, what to order, maybe a little line on how tricky it is to get there. You have to get the ferry or you've got to walk amount of distance to get to this place. Just those little hints, I think, are really, really important. So it sort of takes it away from being just a cookbook.
It works really well.
Yeah, and the recipe components are really strong recipes. They're tried and tested over 12 and a half years at Bar La Rigna. All of them have been inspired in some way or another from some form of travel, have been on the menu at Bar La Rigna, and in some cases, some of them are signature dishes that are still on the menu after 12 and a half years as well. So it's got that strength behind it as well. And then I think also from a design point of view, the photography really quite interesting, because we've used Mark Roper, who shot in studio of the food, but then also my wife and partner Jo Gambros, she's a photographer as well. So we have all these really interesting different images of these travels that we've been to in different places, and they slot into different parts of the book as well.
Certainly a lovely mix. But is the one recipe that means more to you than all the rest?
And I actually get people stop me and tell me that the chickpeas changed their life. if it's that good, then I suppose it's got to stay. But that was one of those experiences. We were in Seville. We were staying in a fairly roughish kind of neighbourhood at the time. It might be more gentrified now, called La Macarena. It was kind of sort of comparable to a little bit like Fitzroy or Collingwood. A lot of kind of grungy little bars and interesting places, but it also had this wonderful market, which was the lifeblood of the neighbourhood. And we had an apartment, and we were walking down the street, and I smelt this smell, and it smelt something more like out of North Africa or even possibly India, with all these incredibly Moorish spices, almost bordering on like a curry. So we went in and ordered this dish everyone was eating, and it was a spiced chickpea dish which had spinach through it, which is quite different to how it's done throughout other regions of Spain. But I then crossed the road after eating it, went to the market, bought the chickpeas, bought the spinach. They had a spice shop there, and I bought the whole range of spices and then went back and actually tried to recreate it then and there on the spot so I could try and just get that recipe of that flavour profile straight away. Wrote it down, brought it back, put it on the first menu, and it's still there. And it's really, it's quite a simple dish, but there's one element that sort of sets it apart where we caramelise the chickpeas, which really sets off all these aromas of all the spices as well. So pretty dear to my heart, that one.
So you're giving away your secret.
I don't see it as giving away. I think one thing that I have been lucky enough to be taught as a chef is the concept of sharing. So I really feel like it's more like I'm sharing what I've got to other people who are also passionate about cooking as well. So at some stage in your cooking career, you do have to pass on what it is that you've got. Otherwise, we don't have much for the future to hold on to.
Family is obviously very important to you. You came from a large family where meals around the dinner table were always a great meeting place. Yep. And now you've got two brothers who are in restaurants too.
There's nothing genetic about it whatsoever, but I think the main thing that influenced us as children was just having really, really good parents who made us all sit at the dinner table every night. So six kids sitting around a table with mum and dad, lots of conversation, lots of discussion. And mum was never really stuck to the same thing night after night after night. She read all the cookbooks at the time and she just loved trying things different. I think that really opened us up to a sense of hospitality and sharing. It's also that adventurous spirit of wanting to try different things and just have a go. Mum and dad were also those sort of people that encouraged us to leave Australia and go and travel the world and see for ourselves and make up our own mind and our own decisions about what we wanted to do in life.
And now sort of Andrew, he's got what, Cutler & Co. and Super Normal in Melbourne. And Sean, he's got restaurants in Canberra.
Yes, he's actually just about to open his restaurant called Rebel Rebel up in Canberra.
Finally, what is next for Matt McConnell? Another book, another restaurant, more travels?
Definitely more travels. That's always on the radar. Look, I really hope that people enjoy Eat at the Bar. I think it's a great first book for us to put out there, and I'd really like to possibly explore that avenue of potentially another book. I think that would be a great progression because we love Barlarinya. We love the hands-on feel that we still manage to give to Barlarinya. We don't really want to take that away.
Look, thank you very, very much for your time. It's been wonderful talking to you. I am sure Eat at the Bar will be a huge success.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. I appreciate that.
That was Matt McConnell of Melbourne's Barlarinya, whose book Eat at the Bar has just been published by Hardy Grant. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.